You are listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You're listening to Go Dig a Hole. This is your host, Christopher Sims. This show is your archaeology toolkit, where I'll bring you resources to kickstart your career in archaeology. If you're still in school, thinking about going back, just getting started, or want to take the next step, Go Dig a Hole has you covered. All right, now let's get on with the show. Welcome to the 10th episode of the Go Dig a Hole podcast. This is your host, Chris Sims. So this episode, I'm going to be picking up where I left off. If anybody's been following the show, the last episode, I announced a hiatus among other things going on. And at the time, I was in New Zealand. So since then, it's been quite a while. I have since moved to Portland, Oregon. I've connected with other archaeologists, including Kirsten Lopez of the Women in Archaeology podcast. That's also on the Archaeology Podcast Network. I've connected with Matt Tuttle, who is the author of the Anthroprobably blog, and he's got an outstanding social media presence, and I'll be bringing him on for a future episode. I've reconnected with Chris Webster. I'm more active with Archaeotech and occasionally with the CRM Archaeology podcast, but I'm helping him out with some projects with his CRM company called DigTech. I'm also picking up some CRM archaeology work here and there throughout the Great Basin. I'll be attending the Great Basin Archaeology Conference, or GBAC, in Reno the first week of October. If any of our listeners are going to be there, drop me a line. I'd love to meet up and chat. I've joined the Oregon Archaeological Society and the Association of Oregon Archaeologists. In the previous episode of Go Dig a Hole, where I announced the show's hiatus, I had mentioned upcoming developments regarding new field schools through AFAR. And at the time, I had thought that I would be building a new field school down in New Zealand. But plans have changed, and I've taken a radically different turn. I'm now the new director of a brand new field school in Portugal, and my first season will be coming up in the summer of 2017, where through the AFAR program, I'll be studying a Roman villa site in the arid uplands near the Spanish border. And I'll likely continue my work in Belize as well, just because I love it too much to quit. Or at the very least, I'll still be active with the annual Maya at the Lago conference. So the show is also taking on a different structure. It's just going to be me. But yeah, by the time I'm recording this, I've lived in Portland, Oregon for about a month now. And in the time prior to this, I was living in Louisville, Kentucky. And I spent several months back there because I've got some really fantastic friends and some great work connections back there. And there were quite a few life lessons that I either learned or I was reminded of while I was back there that I think have a lot of applications to archaeology, especially like young career archaeologists or really anybody altogether. The first of which is always be grinding. I had some amazing coworkers at a little bar / coffee shop / bed and breakfast that I was working at in Louisville. And all of them had such amazing hustle on, you know, not just in the workplace that, you know, it was like a really busy, trendy restaurant, but they had so many side projects and they just lived such rich lives in general. And it was awesome to be around that kind of energy. And it really helped me stay focused on various projects that I work on. And that's the kind of thing that, like, even though archaeology wasn't paying my bills for several months, I was still very active on archaeological projects, especially here on the Archaeology Podcast Network. doing a lot of work with the Archaeotech podcast, and then also with the Afar program, getting a lot of work going on that. And then another lesson is just to take care of yourself above anything else. If you're struggling and you're not really happy with your outlook and all that, if you're frustrated, take a step away and just work on yourself and get into a place where you are financially healthy, your living situation is healthy, and surround yourself with friends and supportive people, and just really work on your network, and it'll grow from there. And there's a lot of other lessons that we'll cover in future episodes, and we have in past episodes as well. And so anyway, moving forward, our first guest co-host is Katie Miller. And she is a fresh graduate of the University of Louisville. And I'm bringing her in because she is essentially exactly the kind of person that I was hoping to reach with this podcast. She's an early career researcher who has a lot of questions about the roadmap to a career in archaeology, and also, some uncertainty, but also a lot going on, like the phase of life in your, in your just your life, but also your career straight out of college is probably one of the busiest and most confusing periods of your life. I was there. That's the whole reason I'm doing the Go Dig a Hole podcast and the blog and all that, is because, that was such a huge part of my life. And, now that I'm in a place where I'm really happy with the track that I'm on and I've learned a lot of good lessons, I'm going to give back. And so, Katie's got a lot of good questions and perspectives, and so we're going to check that out. So here we go with the show. So I guess to give a quick refresher to anybody who's new to the show or has forgotten about us in our months of hiatus, the Go Dig a Hole podcast is aimed at giving skills and advice and tips and interviews, all sorts of knowledge for early career archaeologists, whether they're undergrads or fresh in the field, or even high school students. We have a few interviews with high school students, and we work with them, or I do, on the side in the summers. So we'll be bringing you interviews and conversations and all sorts of stuff going along. We've got recurring themes that we'll touch on throughout the show, being that to build skills and experiences no matter what you're doing, and we also work to build an inclusive archaeology, one that welcomes new archaeologists to the field, no matter what their background or their intended direction might be. We also explore questions relevant to early career archaeologists, like how do I get a job, or what does a career in archaeology look like, or how do I weather the ups and downs of fieldwork and all that. And also a popular question that we get through email or on comments on the blog is, how do I travel for archaeology? That's a really fun thing to do. Some of the other questions are like big and scary, but travel is like a really fun thing to look into. So I won't labor it anymore. We'll introduce Katie here. Katie, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, being a non-traditional student at U of L, and maybe like what classes were important to you and led you to archaeology?
Thanks, Chris. I'm a psychology major and an anthropology minor. The reason I have a psychology degree and not an archaeology degree is because I never really decided that I was interested in it until halfway through my junior year, when I took Introduction to Biological Anthropology, and it was the best class I've ever taken, and I remember just being like, oh my gosh, I still love psychology, but I think I'm a lot more passionate about this other thing called anthropology, which I had never really known what it was before that. And I decided I would pick up a minor in anthropology, considering the fact that I didn't really have time to get two majors. So I took few more anthropology classes and I stuck with it, and I knew that it might be sort of hard to get a job since I don't have an archaeology degree. It would be hard to get the job in that field, but that was what I was aiming for. So when it was finally time for me to apply for jobs a couple months ago, I just started emailing archaeology firms in the area and even in other. I emailed some in California, and I was like, I really, really want to be an archaeologist, and I need. I need some type of position, and nice. I didn't really care where it was or how much I was making. And so I was pretty pushy about it, and I ended up getting a field tech position at Corn Island Archaeology in Louisville and a field tech position at AMEC in their offices in Louisville.
Very cool. And I guess to backtrack a little bit, I had met Katie because she was on the rowing team at University of Louisville, and our previous co-host, Andy, was also a rower, or rather she was the coxswain on the team. And so I got to meet Katie through her, and I think Andy had a lot of conversations with you as you were going through school and getting through that too, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, and so Andy and I had also worked at Corn Island previously as well. So it's funny how, you know, it's a small world in archaeology, and like the network is pretty tight, especially in a city like Louisville. So what were some of the like experiences with the rowing team that you think are like pretty helpful to moving on to the next chapter of your life?
So rowing basically taught me about hard work and about teamwork, and kind of gave me a lot of confidence to feel like I could attack a job that I didn't necessarily see a big market for. And so it was really a big confidence builder. So I was just
nice.
Like I said, like when I was pushy about jobs, I was just like, hey, I believe that I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, hire me. And but yeah, I mean, working with the team is a really, really big part of rowing and with archaeology too. And we always say, you know, the boat doesn't really move unless everybody's working exactly the same, exactly together, perfectly. So that's a big thing. And then the physicalness of rowing is just like ridiculous. And so I'm excited for the fact that I get to use these physical skills, like all the power and energy that I have that I do at practice every day. And so I'm excited to use that in the field.
Very cool. Yeah, the physicality of archaeology field work is something that breaks a lot of people right off the bat.
I heard, yeah.
I feel like it takes a certain amount of mental toughness to just deal with like the monotony and the difficulty of, you know, like a hard day of digging for several hours or hiking for miles and miles, stuff like that. So it's awesome that you already have a lot of experience, you know, like stealing your mind away from all of that. So that's really cool. So you're going to be going into your first field school, right?
Correct.
This summer in Colorado. And so as our future episodes roll on, we'll be excited to hear some updates from you from the field. And also after that, you'll be going into, like you said, CRM at Corn Island and all that. So that'll be really cool. Tell us a little bit about the field school you're going into.
It's called Fort Massachusetts, and it's in Colorado, and it's an 1850s military fort during the Mexican War, and it's going to be 4 weeks long, and it's a pretty cheap field school, and it's cheap, I think, because we're going to be camping the whole time.
Yeah.
There's no place to stay there. Apparently, it's like in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, you just bring a tent and you camp for 4 weeks, and pretty excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool.
That sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
So is that through the University of Louisville? How'd you get linked up with that?
I just researched a bunch of field schools, and I saw this one. It was actually the cheapest one I found. And I saw that there was a option for if you wanted to go as a volunteer, it was free. So I said, okay, I'll go as a volunteer. And then if I want credit for it, I can ask for the credit when I get there. So right now, okay, it's free for me. So it's a really good deal. And I think it's going to be everything that was on the website that it said you would learn, like GIS mapping and like all the phases and the evaluation and everything was like everything that I need to learn. So it's going to be a really good school. And if I want the credit, I can ask for it when I get there.
Yeah.
So right now I'm going for free.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. And it sounds like you'll get like a lot of really helpful experience on like the total process of field work.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like really like helpful just because I have nothing right now to like based off of other than the fact that all of these classes that I've taken, but I've never actually been out there and seen it for myself. So
nice. And that'll be, I think, especially helpful moving into CRM, you know, to have like kind of a different approach to archaeology rather than just having CRM being like, because a lot of people will go through college and not have a field school experience, and then they'll get into CRM, and you know, the ups and downs of CRM, sometimes it's kind of a narrow view of what you can do in archaeology. So
yeah,
it'll be cool to think outside the box.
Yeah, getting down to like the real history of why this is important in the story we're telling through the things we find, I feel like
that'd
be cool.
Very cool. So what kind of culture is going to be at Fort Massachusetts?
It was soldiers from the 1850s, and the fort was there to it was sort of like to protect the soldiers from the Native Americans, and it was also during the Mexican War. So I'm not really sure specifically like what exactly happened there, but I guess that's what I'll find out.
Yeah, a lot of cultures conflicting very quickly
and
violently.
Yes, exactly. Definitely. Yeah, it was kind of like the Wild West, like that you can imagine. That's what I'm thinking it's going to be like. I don't know. I mean, I know we're going to find they when I was applying, they had some like they were like they gave examples of things you might find. And so it was going to be like bullets and like glass bottles and maybe guns.
Nice.
And some pretty cool, like interesting things.
Yeah. Very cool. So what advice would you have? Like you said that the experience of finding a field school was like you went online, right? And you were looking at stuff. Where specifically were you looking, and would you recommend your experience to somebody else who's looking for a field school?
I don't actually remember the name of the site. I think it was archaeologyfieldwork.com or something. Uh-huh. And I like that it's pretty well organized, and you scroll through and you see like all these descriptions, and then it says at the end like $3,000, and I can't afford that right now. So those were like the ones that were out of the country, and so it was actually Andy who was like, you should look for a field school that's in America, those are much cheaper. So that's when I looked at I came across the Colorado one, and I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Nice.
So cool. But yeah, archaeologyfieldwork.com, that's where I found it.
Nice. And that's also a good place to look for jobs as well. There's a lot of CRM archaeology positions, and also positions outside of CRM, like the national parks and museums and stuff like that. So that's a good resource for anybody looking for work or field work. I often forget that they have field schools posted on that. So what was your experience like finding a job?
That was a little more harder than the field school.
Yeah.
That was more like I didn't see any openings in my area. The the reason I was applying for places out in California was because there did seem to be some like advertisements for fieldwork positions out there.
Yeah.
And also my sister lives there, and I was like, oh, I can live with her and it'll be great.
Yeah.
But I decided that I was gonna stick here, and I was like, I'll just, you know, so I think Andy, I don't remember who told me, but they were just like, just call places and people might hire you.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily look for people to be looking for you. So yeah, like that was me just kind of, I think I asked one of my professors about Corn Island, and he gave me a connection there. And then I started emailing Dave, and then I met Dave, and Dave was really nice.
Yeah.
And then Dave was the one who told me about AMEC. He was like, you should apply at AMEC. So that's what happened with that.
Very cool. Yeah, it's funny. It's so neat to see like a network, like you're building your network from the ground up. So I think you'll have a lot of particularly helpful advice and experience for anybody who's going to be like following your path along there. Because I think I had a very like non-traditional path.
Really?
I was not a great student, and I kind of just like fell into archaeology. I tried to be an engineer, and I was just terrible at it. I found out the hard way that wasn't my skill set at all. And I just started taking electives. And I guess similar to your experience with biological anthropology, like I took a prehistory of the Southern Appalachian Mountains, and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. People have been hanging out here for thousands of years, like doing all sorts of cool stuff. And I was like really attracted to being outside and hiking mm-hmm. around and stuff like that. So I found that it was more and more playing to like my skills and interests in other ways. And so, you know, long story short, I ended up, you know, getting into a field school, and then it took me much longer to get into to work. Like I didn't really know how to build a network. And so my frustrations and the like hard work and time that it took me to kind of get into archaeology was like a big motivator for me to have this podcast and have the blog and the social media too. Is like, I wanted to help other people, you know, make it easier, you know, take some of the fear out of it. Cause it's very, like the uncertainty is very intimidating going into it. And then even as you're like working in CRM, like I found myself like very intimidated early on and, you know, wondering if I could even make it. And, you know, it just took like time for me to be able to like trust myself and trust my experience and, you know where the resources are and stuff like that. So, you know, archaeology is such a fun field though, and it can be so rewarding.
We're going to take a short break to hear from some promotions on the Archaeology Podcast Network, and then we'll be back to hear some of the exciting things coming up for Katie, her interests in archaeology and the work she has coming up.
Still recording on paper in the field? Hate having to process hundreds of site records when you get back to the office and would rather go straight to report writing and research? DigTech has the answer. Hi, I'm Chris Webster, founder of DigTech LLC, a disabled veteran-owned CRM firm and archaeological technology research and development firm. At DigTech, we're creating applications for smartphones and tablets that will increase efficiency in the field and will keep archaeologists doing what they love, archaeology, and will reduce the amount of busy work in the office. Some of what we do involves enhancing existing third-party applications that are already on the app stores. Use our consultation form on the website at www.digtech-llc.com/tablet, and we'll help you figure out what digital solution is best for you. The cost of going digital is a lot less than you think, and once you do it, you'll wonder why you ever recorded on paper to begin with. Contact Chris over at DigTech, the parent company of the Archaeology Podcast Network, today, and let DigTech help you save paper, save time, save resources, and go digital. Now, back to the show.
I guess this is kind of just a random thing, but I took two Native American studies classes, and those two and the biological anthropology, I just was like, I became really, really interested in the Native American studies. So, and I've been researching people who, people who I'll be working for, I've seen that there's a lot of people who have done work in consulting between Native American tribes and the government in trying to get rid of cemeteries or something. And I was thinking that could be something that I would be very interested in, because I was so struck by these classes that I've been taking there. It's just contemporary Native American like problems. And I was like, oh my gosh, these are huge problems that these people are going through. And like somebody has to speak up for them there, you know? And I just feel like that could be something that I could maybe help with and along the archaeology path.
That's a really huge issue with archaeology and anthropology, and I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, we work so hard to deal with, and it's just like such a complicated issue all the way around. Like, it's got so many different factors going on, so it's one of like, I don't know, one of the, it's unfortunate, and I feel weird calling it a cool problem, but it's like it's cool because it uses all of the tools in the archaeology and anthropology toolkit. You know, it's like every single thing we study, every single like theoretical debate, every single scientific research question, and then also like the social justice issues. It's just like everything all at once. So that's really cool. And that would be something that I would love to explore in a future episode. If we can get one of your professors on board, that'd be really cool.
Oh, we probably could.
Nice.
That's a good idea.
And I think it'll also be interesting to hear updates from like CRM as you're going through Corn Island, and also to reach back out to like Dave and Tim and the others at Corn Island and get them back on the show. Tim was on an early episode of Go Dig a Hole while I was still there, and he had some great advice on the uncertainty of CRM work. And so like the shovel bumming aspect of like, you know, now I have a job, but in a few weeks I won't, and I might be out of a job for a couple weeks, and then I'll work a little bit more. stuff like that. And so that can be very like scary and disheartening to some, but Tim had a really interesting perspective on it that I really drew a lot from at the time and still do, is that it gives you a lot of freedom, and it's, you know, it's a perspective that you choose to look at it as either a negative or a positive. And so like, if you look at the positives of like, you've got freedom to go anywhere you want and do anything you want and like draw from all of these experiences and carry it on to like your next position and stuff like that. And like one of the guys that I worked with in California, who's also on the Archaeology Podcast Network, Chris Webster, he has this amazing story of just shovel bumming and like leapfrogging from job to job to job on his way out west. And, you know, now he lives in Nevada and works all in the like the West and stuff like that. So it's just like one of those amazing things in archaeology, especially like CRM, just shovel bumming around. Like you can go anywhere and do anything you want. It's just pretty wild.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, I'm getting really excited now talking to you.
So awesome. Cool. So you haven't yet started these jobs with Corn Island or AMEC, but tell us about AMEC. Like what's the position they're going to entail?
So the AMEC job is a field technician. And that one's different than Corn Island because I will be traveling. So I'm an on-call field technician. So they're going to call me and they're going to say, hey, we need you to go to Florida for a week and work on this project. So I'll drive down there probably with the equipment people, and then they pay for my hotel and they give me per diem, and I do some digging for probably like 6 hours a day. I'm not really sure. And do the project, and then I get to stay there for free, and I'm just excited for that because I'll just get to go different places all the time. And they said I might go to Canada, and like basically anywhere in the United States.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's that job.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so you got linked up with that through your contact at Corn Island, Dave, right?
Yes, they did.
Nice.
Yeah, he was really helpful, and it's just interesting because they're not really competing companies, but it is one company that is trying to help me get a job at another company.
Yeah.
So they're really, really nice people. They both encouraged me to get two jobs because, you know, they knew it's not going to be enough money for just one place. You're not going to get that many hours. So.
Definitely. And I think that's like a particular strategy that's useful for like the Southeast, for doing CRM in the Southeast, is because like, you know, it might not pay that well compared to like the West. And it might be like a lot of on again, off again stuff. Cause like out West, it seems to be, the trend is like these huge projects that take like several months and you're out there for like a while. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here in the Southeast, like, you know, we'll work for a few days, a few weeks here and there, and then, you know, on to the next thing. So it's cool that you have like two positions, and also like what a productive contact in your network to have like Dave on your side. Cause he's like, you know, in a way, like, not only do you have Dave in your network, but now you have Dave's network in your network. So like he's like a veteran of AMEC and he's got all his contacts out there and stuff. So that's really cool how that worked out.
It is true, yeah. I guess I got lucky.
Yeah. So yeah, you've got some travel coming up. You're going to be all over on the road shovel bumming. And then you're also going to Colorado for your field school. And then I'm going to be going to Belize to work with a field school as well. So... we're going to have a lot of travel posts in the near future. So, yeah, we from the time that we're recording this now, I'd say we have probably a month before we can relaunch the show. But, you know, we'll have a lot of episodes to quickly follow. And, yeah, I'm really excited. Thanks for joining us, Katie. Welcome to the team.
Okay.
And, yeah, we'll be out there digging holes.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of Go Dig a Hole. As always, you can contact me by email at christopher@godigahole.com or on the Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. We've got all the social media bases covered, all at Go Dig a Hole. Don't forget to check out the blog at godigahole.com for long-form companion posts to most of the episodes. Special thanks to Louisville post-punk band Invaders for letting me use their song Dig a Hole for the show's bumper music. Check them out on Bandcamp and download their album by the same name, Dig a Hole. This show was produced and edited by me, your host, Christopher Sims. You can check out the show notes from this and all the other great podcasts on the Archaeology Podcast Network on archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Until next time, go dig a hole.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.